A Story Publishing presents Shadows Over Talon. Sam Rivers woke up to another overcast morning in Talon, the Estonian city that had come to represent home, if one could call it that. The streets whispered with the earliest risers making their ritualistic shuffle to work, a pedestrian ballet he'd come to appreciate. He didn't hate it. It kept him grounded, this illusion of normalcy. The whistle of the kettle broke his thoughts as he poured boiling water over coffee grounds, that rich aroma momentarily soothing the underlying churn in his chest. His apartment was a modest affair, sparsely decorated but efficient, just like his life was supposed to be here. At first glance, Sam was just the guy who knew how to repair your aged laptop or your finicky smartphone, but there were layers to Sam, layers he held tight, woven together in careful secrecy. By day, he was the friendly tech wizard who greeted customers with the kind of warm smile mothers wish their daughters would fall for. By night, well, that was a different story, the kind that was better not committed to paper or conversation. He slipped on his jacket and locked up, his apartment building already waking with the rhythmic sounds of daily life. Like clockwork, he found himself walking towards the shop. The building could have been ripped from an old postcard, defying time with its stubborn charm, possibly the only romantic notion Sam allowed himself. "Morning, Sam," Tarmo, one of his co-workers, called out as he entered. Tarmo was a guy you'd want by your side if things turned ugly, or on a lighter note, if you needed a strong back for moving furniture. Honest as they come, Tarmo was blissfully unaware of the life Sam led beneath his friendly facade. "Morning, Tarmo. What have you got today?" Sam replied, setting down his coffee and taking a look at the workbench cluttered with assorted digital corpses waiting for resurrection. "Just the usual. Desperate folks in desperate need, like clockwork." Tarmo chuckled and nodded toward a pile of outdated laptops. The morning began the way most did, accompanied by the subtle hum of fluorescent lighting and the low chatter of customers dropping off their tech woes. There was comfort in this routine, a sort of predictable instability. Here, Sam was an island of dependability in an unpredictable sea. He found Albert, everyone called him Bert, hunched over a particularly battered device, a man in his mid-50s who treated every malfunctioning gadget with the care some reserved for bonsai trees. Although Sam often caught flashes of skepticism in Albert's eyes, mixed with admiration, the older man trusted him more than he probably should. "Seems you've got your work cut out," Sam quipped, nodding at the laptop Albert was dissecting. "Ah, I've seen worse," Albert declared. "This one's just testing my patience." It was always the little things, the smile from a satisfied customer, the smell of solder, even the noise of erratic keyboards being slaughtered under fingers that held Sam together. But something lingered in the periphery today, an itch in his mind that wouldn't quite go away. It was a noise, soft, like static on a radio no one was listening to, manifesting in the odd glance from that stranger outside or a whispered conversation with no audience. A bagel and a mug of dark roast later, something shifted. As Sam stood behind the counter, a vibration in his pocket announced a message. Tersely worded, cryptic. It was the kind of message that would jitter the nerves of lesser men. But Sam, ever the actor, could hide his surprise with the best of them. No signature, no trace, just coordinates. It didn't blink like a red light at a desert intersection yet. It simmered. "Well, look at that," he muttered, deadpan, to himself. Tarmo looked up quizzically, but Sam's expression was already schooled back to business as usual. Later, he'd give it more attention. For now, the lady by the counter was adamant about some issue with her phone. "Miss, it's just a matter of tweaking some settings here," Sam said, reassuring her with practiced ease, fingers deftly maneuvering through menus as if that were all the heaviest lifting he'd do today. Outside the window, a black SUV idled on the street, its engine a low growl. It seemed innocuous enough, one among countless others navigating small, cramped city spaces. But Sam's intuition had been honed for survival, not convenience. And something about it, a lingering presence, an unscheduled stationing, itched at that well-guarded corner of his mind that dealt with shadows. Whispers. Sam wrapped up the day's tasks, that message from earlier pulsing beneath each exchanged pleasantry, a subtle drumbeat of tension aligning his senses. He noticed a reflection, the silhouette of the vehicle outside caught in the shop's glazed windows, a shadow that slunk away just as soon as Sam's attention zeroed in. With the shop closing, he stretched, not one for fanfare or lingering hesitations. It was an itch left unscratched, a story left unfinished, and whatever chased him never seemed too far behind. "Good evening, Tarmo," Sam said as he headed for the door, trying to dismiss the unease. "Same time tomorrow." Walking back to the sanctity of his apartment, he took his time, casually glancing at each street, each corner. Maybe it was just paranoia bred through years of being careful, but maybe not. Sam couldn't afford to trust. That was a luxury long given up. He'd wait and watch. He'd done it 1,000 times in the labyrinth of cities before. But this morning, Tallinn had seemed different, like the city knew something he didn't. And judging by the ominous text and the restless movement in the shadows, it seemed it was about to enlighten him soon enough. As Sam approached his apartment, the unsettling feeling in his gut twisted. The streetlights cast long shadows across the cracked pavement, doing little to dispel the cloying darkness that seemed to follow him. He stopped, staring at his building. It felt different, like returning to a house you knew by heart, only to find the furniture rearranged in your absence. He climbed the stairs two at a time, a thin veneer of calm masking the raw nerves underneath. The second he reached his door, it was confirmed, ajar, slightly, yet enough for alarm bells to clang in his head. Sam hesitated, hand hovering over the handle. Inside, the familiar comfort of home had been replaced by a tense, judicial air. The smell of stale cologne was the first thing that hit him. He stepped inside, careful to make no sound as he surveyed the mess before him. Papers were strewn across the floor, drawers pulled out and upturned. They'd rifled through everything, leaving nothing untouched. A tornado of curiosity with one thing missing. The small metal box where he kept keys to his past life. Gone. So were the encrypted USBs containing a cache of missile data, information that could topple governments. His phone buzzed, cutting through the silence like a gunshot. Another message etched in vagueness but urgent in tone. "They know. No time." Sam flicked through his options. The familiar faces at the shop? No, not yet. He banished the thought before it rooted. Their ignorance was a shield he couldn't breach. He packed quickly, throwing essentials into a bag, all the while eyes rifling through the haze of anxiety and rage for a path out of the city. As he exited the apartment, a sound from outside made his skin bristle. He ducked low, peeking out to see two men standing by the suspicious SUV. Their movements spoke of intent, not coincidence. They were circling like sharks he'd once encountered in the shadowy world of espionage. Given the polished shoes and grave expressions, they weren't friends. The city conspired in his fleeing, streets that stretched longer, shadows that swallowed him whole as he wove between alleys, ducking neon lights and thumping clubs. He stayed within the veil, slipping like smoke through tight corridors. His heart beat a tattoo against his ribs, a drum to which only he knew the tune. A footstep echoed too close. He froze. 1 second. 2. A crowbar's shadow crossed his path, sliding silently along the wet pavement. He held his breath until it passed, the stalk through the alleys quickening into jogs and then into desperate sprinting, the kind that pumping blood remembers long past reason. There was no time to think, only react as he broke into the open street, caught amidst a river of night owls and blissful revelers. Normalcy was the best disguise. He slipped free from his warm jacket, the color standing out too much. As he mingled with the crowd, the SUV appeared at the street's edge, far enough not to panicking people, but close enough to him to spell a form of doom. In his ear, the echo of Tarmo's jokes. Deeper still, Albert's skeptical yet approving glances. Already ghosts in a life temporarily given up. He vanished into a sea of unfamiliar faces, hoping the skin of an urban phantom could keep his enemies at bay. There was no time for sentiment. There was only the road and the instinct to find its end before dark curtains closed in. Sam squeezed himself into a small sedan at the end of the block, a leftover favor from dealings better left in the past, and didn't reflect on why the keys rested conveniently in the visor. The engine roared to life, defying stillness, sending strength in horses galloping down the city avenues, away from the life he could no longer lead. Talon soon ceased to be familiar. It grew abstract, past tense, a series of blink-and-miss streets serving as silent farewells to routines Sam couldn't afford anymore. As he drove, Sam cursed the betrayal of comfort. The reward of an ideal life was always being ripped away just as luxurious truth settled into your bones. The glow of distant city lights slipped into the murky black of countryside roads, the world around him absorbing the ill-lit fears of a city's former child. He didn't allow himself any distractions, not the occasional light piercing the rearview mirror or the sudden impulse to reach out to those who still lived without these shadows. For now, he was alone, a solitary figure in a chess match he'd underestimated. But his escape was unfinished, the grains of danger slipping between his fingers, sinking deeper with every second. And as he traveled, the anticipation of who Sam might become on this journey climbed into the car with him. The future was freckled with paths he could barely begin to comprehend. The ignition of a new understanding of the world, where allies were old skins and friends bore unwitting daggers. The hidden roads would have to reveal the extent of what Sam Rivers could still salvage. With the road snaking beneath him and the sigh of the engine conducting Knight's hymn, there was one thing that Sam allowed to follow him from his Talon escape, the knowledge that what was taken had to be reclaimed. Sam drove into the Estonian countryside, the city's hum fading into the whisper of wind through the trees. It felt like he was navigating some forgotten painting, where the only movement was the car slicing through shadows cast by pregnant clouds. He found the dirt road leading to the CIA outpost, nestled discreetly among pines. If it hadn't been for the gravity of his situation, he might have enjoyed the picturesque irony. But irony was a luxury for another life. Sam reached the outpost. Seemingly innocuous cabin. He knocked with the code, willing life to stir behind the door. He received only silence in return, a hollow answer thick with neglect and danger. He tried the satellite phone. Nothing. Cold dread wrapped around him like a shroud, break time 0.4. The kind of abandonment only possible when you'd relied too much on hidden channels and secret passages. There was no time to dwell on his miscalculations. He was a fisherman alone at sea. Any other castaway would have to do. Tarmo's number spilled from him in a reflex, half-finished apologies echoing with each unanswered ring. Just as he was about to disconnect and weave another plan from frayed threads, the line crackled alive. Sam? Tarmo, listen, I need help. There was a pause pregnant with the weight of disbelief. You serious? Tarmo's usually jovial voice was edged with confusion. I wouldn't call otherwise, Sam replied. It's not about a broken laptop this time. I need you to trust me on this. Another silence, then. Where are you? Sam gave directions through thick breath, knowing full well the price of bringing Tarmo into this swirling chaos. But he couldn't fight shadows alone, not when they became flesh and bone. A few miles back toward Talon at a nearly abandoned petrol station, Sam found a spot with cover from view. Tarmo arrived soon after in his rusted pickup, disbelief still clinging to his expression, searching for some hint that this was all an elaborate prank. What's going on, Sam? You in trouble or something? Something like that. Sam judged the moment to gauge Tarmo's understanding. The shop isn't just a shop. It wasn't like dangling from wire, gun in hand, but this, confessing to a life beyond circuit boards and tackling solder tips, felt as perilous. He saw the mixture of fear and determination in Tarmo's eyes, saw a man willing to steer into unknown seas if only the helmsman didn't falter. By the time they peeled away from the station, watching for any tail on the horizon, Sam's phone buzzed again. This time a message, three words, "We're watching you." "They're close," Sam said, skin crawling with the urgency of prey aware of its hunters. "We have to lose them." Tarmo slammed his foot down. The old engine roared with a defiance that had nothing to do with horsepower. The landscape began to blur, trees becoming indistinct pillars of witness. Sam's plan quite rudimentary. Change appearance, lose the trail, regroup. But as the next bend brought them momentarily out of sight from the main road, Sam saw the dark shapes of another vehicle fast approaching. "Here, turn right," he instructed, pointing toward a farm's rutted path. Tarmo complied, the truck skidding slightly over gravel, heading into a maze of trees. The Russian agent's vehicle thundered past, blind to their escape, but the clamor would return. Sam's certainty in that was bone deep. "Who are these guys?" Tarmo finally asked, his eyes never leaving the tumultuous road. "Russians," Sam replied curtly. "Big ones. Believe me, you don't want to see another round of this chase." Tarmo blinked, processing horror and resolve with surprising agility. "So what now?" Sam's throat felt dry even though his tongue was coated with the dust of too many roads and too few answers. "We find another ally," he said, knuckles white on the dash. "Albert might be able to help." "Albert?" Tarmo frowned. "The man refuses to fix a clock radio." "Exactly why he's perfect." Sam managed a small, humorless laugh, feeling the guillotine shift an inch higher from his neck. They found cover beneath a natural canopy, where vehicles pulled into a rugged conclave of nowhere. Sam reached out again, hoping that Albert's skepticism hadn't turned to dust when trust was needed most. The shades between light and dark would determine this next breach of safety, but hope, rusty as rooftop paint, sat on Sam's shoulders nonetheless. Yet another chance to reclaim what bits of the world he thought could be woven back together, if only for one more day of elusive peace. In the lull, when threat felt like a persistent whisper but not yet a shout, Sam couldn't forget that securing survival often meant sharpening the edges between caution and deceit. He would gamble again before night fell, and the morning's deceitful shadows would uncover his trail. As the lingering doubt pecked and nipped pieces of his resolve, Sam knew these were just glimmers of breath in darkness, a fraction of what he once romanticized. And for now, they were enough. The rain hit harder as they maneuvered through the peak. Lonely highway, a rhythmic assault that obscured the road's twists, which seemed to tighten around them like a noose. Sam stole a glance at Tarmo, whose knuckles mirrored his own, more white than flesh, gripping the steering wheel like it was the last solid thing in a fluid world. "Where are we headed exactly?" Tarmo asked, his voice barely cutting through the drumming rain. "Toward a lead," Sam replied. The coordinates from the encrypted message pointed to a contact rumored to have information on the missile data's buyers. How reliable that lead was, he wasn't sure. But with the Russians breathing down their necks, inactivity was a greater gamble. The sedan's headlights sliced through sheets of rain, illuminating a stretch of desolate road weaving through dense forests. An isolated expanse, with nothing but the winter landscape to witness these two reluctant allies forging into the unknown. A shape, dark and predatory, emerged in the rearview mirror. Tires slick with water skidded and found traction again as Tarmo fought with the car's controls. "Behind us," Tarmo barked. Sam turned, the adrenaline surging anew as recognition hit, an unmistakably Russian SUV. He realized their reprieve had been an illusion, a mousetrap momentarily sprung before its jaws snapped shut. They must have doubled back, Sam said, weighing their options, feeling the familiar edge of danger sharpening his instincts. Stay on the road. Let's see how far they're willing to push. They accelerated, the engine roaring against the wind's unforgiving hand. But the SUV gained ground steadily. Even from this distance, Sam could feel the intent, the kind that tightens like a garrote and leaves no room for negotiation. A rapid flash caught Sam's eyes, a muzzle flare from the pursuing vehicle. Bullets, a spray of determination crossing the rain, pelted the road around them. Instinctively, Sam ducked, urging Tarmo to swerve through erratic zigzags of evasive maneuvers. You sure about this? Tarmo yelled over the sound, his voice mingling fear and raw nerve. No other choice, Sam replied. His mind raced toward any possible advantage, something in the landscape that could favor them, or the Russians might outlast their luck. Hold it. Coming up. We'll lose them there, Sam barked, spotting a narrow exit that peeled off into the woods. Tarmo seemed to understand without confirmation, throwing the wheel in a sharp turn that sent their car fishtailing through the exit just narrowly. The SUV slipped, regained itself, then tore after them with relentless urgency. Branches clawed at the car, a banshee howl amplified tenfold. Sam knew they needed more than speed. They needed an edge. His hand found a crowbar in the cluttered passenger seat. Looking at it, he said, I hope you're a good driver, because I'm about to make things interesting. Without waiting, Sam reached over and pulled the lever opening the trunk. A deliberate risk, but desperate times called for frantic measures. Their trajectory bounced as the trunk flew open, debris spilling onto the makeshift highway. Behind them, the SUV swerved terribly, metal grinding against low branches and scattered stones. Hang on, Tarmo shouted, their path disappearing into a dark curve. Seconds between improvisation and the Russian forces catching up, moments before disaster either answered or swallowed them whole. Another loud bark of weapon discharge. Sam felt glass spray as windows shattered, pressure lifting as the air stirred and gravity vied for every particle of motion. Desperation drove Tarmo to pitch the car around another bend, loose grit spraying under the tires as the Russians readied themselves yet again to strike. It was then Sam saw it, a path obscured by foliage, indistinct and shrouded enough to hide their passing. Tapped into his driver's ed knowledge, Tarmo understood Sam's urgent nod, Stephen King's schooling be damned. With a swift movement, they skidded onto the path hidden from direct view. The heavier SUV struggled behind, wheels unable to grip as masterfully. Their pursuer's craft, a monstrous entity, shifted and tried to align, but jerked to the side, flanks crashing harmlessly against unyielding bark. For a heartbeat, the world slipped away, rewarding Sam with silence and Tarmo with leveraged distance as they disappeared into the forest's labyrinth. They drove cautiously now, unsure if shadows were ghosts or compatriots. Adrenaline faded, leaving disbelief and exhaustion in its wake. They connected with a clearing before long, a negligent field existing between nowhere and speak. Somewhere rumored, distant thunder rumbling promises of continued reprieve. Here, at least for a moment, they took the chance to breathe. What now? Tarmo's voice was tight, outrun momentum bleeding into reality's weight. Now we reassess. Take this break for what it is. Sam reached into his coat, retrieving the blood-stained paper he'd found in the SUV days before. A message scribbled hastily, decoded shorthand glancing with malignancy. Central Command. Interesting developments from internal front. Rivers is wild and must be quenched. That last phrase sealed it. Phrases only a CIA intimate would understand. An inside job orchestrating his fall. He couldn't even laugh at the irony. It hit too close, feeling too much like truth disguised as betrayal's hedge. When Sam met Tarmo's gaze, it was one of solidarity formed through chaos fire, the realization of an inside man, a turncoat hidden beneath an identity's fold, was no longer a vague threat. It was certainty, grim and demanding confrontation. "Someone in our own ranks wants us dead, and they've got friends who aren't shy about the work," Sam said, the gravity of next steps hanging in the shrinking void between them. They had no map for survival, just the uncertain path formed between gunshots and a traitor's reach. But amid the storm's passing, they found determination etched in each other's eyes, a dangerous willingness to gamble everything against the world's darker card. And as sprigs of courage woven from shared necessity took root, they dared the universe to make the next move. The farmhouse crouched low against the night, a forgotten relic amid whispering fields. Sam and Tarmo huddled near a flickering candle, the dim light casting shadows that danced across their apprehensive faces. The storm lashed the windows with unrelenting ferocity, each droplet drumming against the panes like the echoes of distant footsteps. Sam's thoughts were a tangled mass, but one thing remained clear. Someone in the CIA wanted him out of the picture. The thought twisted in his gut like a knife. "Think we'll be safe here?" Tarmo asked, worry etching lines across his forehead. "We'll be safe until we're not," Sam replied. His voice carried the fatigue of 100 battles, despite the ill ease lounging in his speak. "Chest." He scrutinized their surroundings, noting every creak and groan of the old structure. It was a temporary refuge at best, a stall for time in a game where they were the prey. Their refuge, if you could call it that, had borne witness to countless tales. Its walls were scuffed with the marks of lives long gone, silent testimonies to the fragility of secrets kept and spoken. The irony wasn't lost on Sam. Secrets, after all, had fashioned his entire life. Tarmo stirred, rising to rummage through ancient drawers. "Shouldn't we be, you know, arming ourselves or something?" Sam let the question simmer while he tightened a burnished strap on his duffel, the weight of clipped ammunition solid against his palm. "They'll come soon. We'll know when they get here." Suddenly, the crunch of tires on gravel shattered the uneasy peace. Tarmo moved to the slit of a window. "We expecting company?" "No," Sam said, every instinct screaming alert. "And if it is, we're far from welcoming." A car came into view, headlights cutting through the rain's shroud. Sam steadied his breath, ears straining against the muffled silence between each drop. The car stopped outside, engine purring into stillness. Then, a figure emerged, stepping carefully through the mud, eyes covered by a hood pulled tight against the storm. Tarmo's brows knitted as he squinted. "Is that..." Before Tarmo could finish, the door creaked open, spilling the storm in with a gust that betrayed the shadows lurking beyond. The figure stood silhouetted, water pooling around their steady feet. "Sam," a voice called out, deep and deceptively calm. The kind of voice that had spent years massaging the truth. It was Albert. Surprise flickered across Sam's face. He had seen many things in Albert, but betrayal hadn't been one of them. Unfortunately, the luxury of doubt had long since expired. "Albert," Sam acknowledged. His words carried cold detachment, but underneath, a question hovered between hope and dread. Albert scanned the tense room, eyes cold yet deductive. "I see your instincts haven't dulled." Tarmo shifted uncomfortably, clearly questioning the older man's sudden entanglement in lethal affairs. "Could say I'm here to help," Albert continued, directing the line to Sam. "But the situation's..." "Speak. Messier than that." The candle sputtered, shadows stretching menacingly, extending the growing silence. Sam locked his eyes on Albert's, reading past the storm self they all wore. It was a yield deeper than surface level, though conviction, faulty or otherwise, resided. "Messy or not," Sam said, choosing his next words the way a bomb squad handles old dynamite, "help wouldn't come unarmed." Albert sighed, producing a handgun with the kind of casualness belonging to well-practiced hands. "A measure I hoped wouldn't be needed." "You knew," Sam stated, a ripple of accusation spading the solemn air. "This was protocol." It wasn't my call, Albert replied, meeting the gaze that insisted on peeling excuses from where they nested. There's someone else who'd rather wipe the slate altogether. Sam swallowed the distaste in his throat. His history knew the anthem well. When shadows crossed, all heads turned scapegoat. What about now? Sam pressed, feeling threads of tension knot tighter. Albert glanced between Sam and Tarmo. His answer was deliberate, heavy but true. Now we decide who gets to rewrite the rules. Silence fell, only rain and tension remaining, each testing the virtue of truth spoken or hidden. This game had no room for doubt nor glamour cast by espionage's tricky treaties. Time slipped through the hourglass untouched, as before Sam might wonder where they turned, once words sought action. The farmhouse no longer just walls, but a solid boundary curving against hope's field ambitions. Sam checked his watch meticulously, then trained his gaze back, choosing belief over reason in a prelude to alliance. Tarmo stays safe. That's non-negotiable. The unspoken understanding, it was enough. Action beckoned and brought with it the hard resolve born when danger and decision embrace unchecked power. Let's get ready then, Albert replied, the certainty of shared fate remaining between them. Sam moved sharply, the taste of faith reborn through confrontation lingering like the ache of a healing scar. In that stark transition, they were more than a plasticine band of outliers. Here and now, an arsenal bent uniquely by survival's hand. The glimmer of conflict closed distance, etched each resolute motion, and carried with it beginning whispers of what future might tell chaos-given root. The universe's game had claimed its next move, lines drawn by the agency of those still daring enough to stake hope necessity's reach. The wind hissed around the farmhouse, rattling loose panes and shaking the last dry leaves from branches outside. Flashlight beams jittered over the tabletop as Sam, Tarmo, and Albert pooled what they had, handguns, a cracked burner phone, a battered radio with the sealed battery yanked free seconds earlier. Their breath fogged the chilly parlor, voices kept low, every sound filtered through a rehearsed wariness. Albert kept to the shadows, fingers moving over his pistol's frame. Up close, exhaustion had carved deeper furrows into his face. Tarmo, grounded but restless, moved from window to window, scratching at his jaw and squinting out into the blackness. They were closing in last time I checked, Tarmo whispered, glancing at Sam for reassurance. A flick of his eyes said what words didn't. How much longer? Sam nodded, attention fixed on the table. He lined up the gear, deliberate and methodical, not simply inventory, but ritual action, as though control might be conjured from act alone. One way out, he murmured. They'll come for us head on, or they'll wait to starve us out. And what about HQ? Tarmo asked. You think anyone's coming? Albert's reply was flat. If there's someone left to come, they're not on our side anymore. He didn't look up as he spoke, his thumb running over the weapon's worn ID plate. Orders came from above. They want the data gone, and anyone attached to it finished. Sam heard what Albert didn't say, the hollow note of someone who'd given up on righteous sides years ago, now moving in the inertia of old loyalties and debts. A crackle rose from the thick darkness outside, tires on gravel. A hush fell over the group as the noise grew louder, splintering any notion of safety the farmhouse might have offered. Dunned headlights flashed through the kitchen. Sam cut the lights with the edge of his hand. Albert fell in beside him, weapon raised and breath slow, movements unshowy and practiced. Tarmo pressed against the sagging wall, his tension so palpable it leached the air. How many? He mouthed. Sam risked a quick glance, eyes barely above the frame of the darkened window, a single black SUV. Then a second, lights off, halting 50 yards behind the first, just out of reach, but not out of intent. Shadows spilled from the vehicles. 4 men, maybe 5, fanned out, guns cradled, faces lost behind rain-smeared glass. No insignia but the careful practice sweep of their movements betrayed origin. He turned back, steadying his voice. 5, maybe more behind the cars. Russian unit Spetsnaz approach. He shot a hard look at Albert. You recognize any signatures? Albert shook his head, but his lips pressed thin. They're not field. I'd guess handlers, not grunts. Here to tie up loose ends, not take prisoners. Outside, one of the men spoke into a radio. A new sound cut the night, a clipped, accented voice echoing from a bullhorn distorted by the storm. Sam Rivers. Surrender, and the others go free. You have 10 seconds. No one moved. Tarmo's knuckles whitened around his hunting rifle. Across the table, Sam's pulse thrummed steady method into chaos. He heard the unspoken question. Would he sacrifice himself? Could he wager their lives for an intel cache and the ghost of professional allegiance? Albert leaned close, quietly. They'll say anything. They're expecting you to break. Buy time. We're not dealing with idealists out there. A distraction's all we need, Sam said. If we split, head through the east field. A crack. Glass shattered overhead. They ducked low, shards raining against the table. The radio on the windowsill flared to life, channel hijacked. A familiar woman's voice lilted through. Sam, if you're alive, listen. There's more at stake than your conscience. Trust no one attached to the original op. Repeat, compromised, then static. Tarmo's stunned face sought confirmation, but Sam was already in motion, mind mapping every escape route, waiting every possible betrayal. We go now, Sam said, his voice controlled. Grab only what you can't replace. Tarmo hunched into his coat, hands shaking for a heartbeat before steadying. Albert moved with certain efficiency, the compressed focus of a life lived under threat. They exited through the kitchen, feet finding practiced silence on warped floorboards. Sam ushered Tarmo out first, then covered Albert as they slipped into the rain. In the field, the grass sucked at their boots, each step slick and cautious. Up ahead, Albert signaled stop, voices drifted to their right, cold and bracing as the wind. The pattern was familiar. Encirclement, patience, steepled violence. Sam nudged Tarmo forward, then signaled for Albert to drift left, flanking their would-be captors. A shot snapped somewhere near the porch. They dropped low. Sam fired once, measured, no panic in the movement, then called, "Flank the far side!" A chaos of movement, men in black fanning wide, shouting clipped orders. Tarmo lunged for the edge of the tree line. Sam on his heels. Albert moved with the slow inevitability of someone who'd imagined his death a dozen ways and decided only the shape ever mattered. They reached the woods. The thud of boots followed, but Sam drove them deeper, weaving between birch trunks, feet pounding mud and leaf rot. Behind them, gunfire picked at the air, close, never careless. In the silence that followed, a terrible clarity descended. Albert doubled over behind an uprooted stump, pressing a hand to his side. Blood, dark and profuse, welled between his fingers. "Damn it, Al. Let me see." Sam reached for him. Albert waved him off, jaw clenched. Through and through. Not fatal. He flashed a look, forced bravado, but his skin gray under the lantern's ghost glow. "Go, Sam. I'll slow them." Tarmo's eyes glittered, wild and anxious in the darkness. "We can't." Albert drew a battered silencer from his boot. "One thing you learn, kid," he grunted, "is there's always one last favor you owe. Scram. I'll draw them west." For a moment, Sam hesitated, calculating risk, weighing the weight of what they'd already spent of themselves. Then he nodded. "You owed me nothing, Albert." Albert huffed out a breath, a sort of laughter. "Still, go." Sam pulled Tarmo after him, pushing east, letting the brush swallow them. For a span of minutes or centuries, nothing followed but breath and rain. Then distantly, shots rang out, measured, not panicked. Albert's grim exit, or so Sam guessed. And whatever he bought, it was costly. They didn't speak again until the cover of the woods grew thin and the eastern field, sodden and barren, rolled out before them. Lights flickered along a nearby service road, muted by the storm. finally looked at Sam, words catching on tremors. He'll be all right? The question meant more than it asked. No one's all right, Sam said softly. But he gave us the only shot we have left. Sam checked the battered phone. One bar, battery near death. A single message blinked, coordinates and a simple code. It matched the set from the shop's back room weeks ago, a final fallback, a cache buried under an outbuilding on the fringe of a decommissioned Soviet airstrip. He let the coordinates guide them, hope and logic tangled with fatigue. They reached the outbuilding an hour before dawn. The storm had lost its fury. Only drizzle remained, the night's violence spent. The lock yielded to Sam's fractured memory of its code. Muscle memory, bitter and precise. Inside, the darkness was thick and warm. Shelves lined with dust, a metal trunk in the corner half submerged in mold. Sam knelt, pried it open. Inside, two expired Estonian passports, a wad of euros, a kilo of battered tech, transmitters, encrypted drives, and a gleaming, unmarked USB. The last of the evidence, the prodigal weight that had drawn so many to violence. Tarmo watched, silent, as Sam wrapped the USB in a clean handkerchief. What now? Tarmo asked, his voice empty of illusions. Sam weighed the drive in his palm. We make a choice, he replied. Turn this over, or let it disappear. Either way, we finish it. No more running, and no more dragging lives behind mine. Tarmo looked away, lips pressed tight. You really trust anyone will do the right thing? His skepticism cut through the half-light. No, Sam said. But I can choose who I make the gamble with. That's all there ever was. He drew a phone from the trunk's stash, hands moving with the careful brutality of ritual, dialed a number from memory, one last irrevocable test. It rang. Once, twice. The line picked up. A woman's voice answered, the careful hush of someone watching hallways more than conversations. Sam Rivers. He hesitated one heartbeat. I have what you want, but I'm not delivering it to Moscow or Langley. Neutral ground or it ends tonight. A pause, then, agreed. Bridge west of Paldiski, half an hour. The line went dead. Sam stood. We're moving. Tarmo followed, boots crunching on wet gravel. They drove a battered speak, Lada from the ruined shed, no lights, no plates. The countryside offered little comfort. Dawn came slow, gray, indifferent. At the bridge they waited beneath the girders, rain sluicing from crumbling concrete. A black sedan appeared precisely at dawn, engine ticking hot. The woman from the phone emerged, mid-40s, her suit limp with travel. Every movement measured. Eyes bright, hands empty. She looked between Sam and Tarmo, the calculation naked in her stare. Mr. Rivers, you have my gratitude for surviving this far. Don't thank me yet, he replied, holding the USB in two fingers. Before we do this, I want answers. Who set us up? Why all of it? She stepped closer, unhurried, voice never above a conversational murmur. Someone inside your network sold your cover to the Russians. The initial operation was greenlit based on faulty loyalties higher up. Moscow wanted the missile cache neutralized. Langley wanted plausible deniability. Field casualties, regrettable but convenient. Sam's face betrayed nothing, but turmoil flickered behind his stillness. And you? I'm here to close the account, she said, shrugging a shoulder. With this drive, maybe the slaughter's over. Or maybe it's only shifted angles. Your choices won't rewrite the Bureau, only which truths surface in tomorrow's reports. He understood. No one left to play hero, just agents and survivors. All choices ragged around the edges. Something in him relaxed, a kind of resignation or the weary birth of freedom. He offered her the USB. Once this leaves me, you disappear. So does Tarmo. No tales, no more shopfront assassins, or I promise the next leak goes public. A flicker of approval, hard, practical. You have my word. He handed it over. Relief didn't follow, just space for breath. Tarmo watched the handoff, jaw set. So that's it? After all of this? Sam met his gaze. Sometimes the best ending is just getting to walk away. The woman retreated, drive secure. No fanfare, no sudden violence. The car vanished into rising fog, swallowed by the sheath of morning. Sam and Tarmo stood in the hush by the river, the new day pale above the tree line. Behind them, a trail of harm and the memory of what couldn't be undone. But in their pockets, no trackers buzzed. In their veins, the wild pulse of hope. They walked until the road bent toward Talon, uncertain of the path but lighter than when the night began. The world, never cleansed, offered at least the decency of quiet, enough for now. A crow cawed from the bridge's steel skeleton. The city waited somewhere ahead. So did whatever came after. Sam glanced back once at the empty bridge, then forward. No answers. Just the next step. A story unfinished, as all the best ones are. Thank you for choosing A Story Publishing.